The reading this morning is taken from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Confidence is a great thing, and it can get us far in life in respect of job prospects and day-to-day engagements with other people. More often than not, we like those around us who are confident rather than those who are timid or shy. However, there is a balance, and overconfident people can appear overbearing or arrogant. And sometimes people who are full of themselves wind us up the wrong way. But what exactly is confidence? One dictionary definition describes it like this. A belief or conviction that an outcome will be favourable. Belief in the certainty of something. Belief in the effectiveness of one's own abilities or in one's favourable acceptance by others. And it's this last sentence which I find interesting. Confidence is the belief in the effectiveness of one's own abilities or in one's favourable acceptance by others. These are the exact opposite of the circumstances we see David facing as he pours out his soul in Psalm 27. He doesn't have the favourable acceptance of others. In fact, he is surrounded by enemies who want to destroy him. Evil men are coming, and he feels besieged. He has no hope of escape using his own abilities. His confidence of victory is based only on the sure foundation of God's promises. He knows the Lord is his light and salvation, the stronghold of his life. According to the commentators, the structure of this psalm, or the flow of the poetry, goes something like this. A, confidence in God's presence, verses 1 to 3. B, prayer for God's presence in verses 4 to 6. Then B is repeated in verses 7 to 12, with prayer for God's presence again. And finally, in verses 13 and 14, the psalmist returns to A, confidence in God's presence. And as we move through the psalm, it is noticeable that David's faith appears to shift in character or mood several times. In verses 1 to 6, we find the first expression, one of absolute trust in God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is so sure of God's protection that when the wicked come against him, it is they who will stumble and fall. He will not fear, even if an army besieged him. He knows God will act on his behalf. This is a believer at the top of his game, and he had reason to be so. David's confidence was based on what is known as the Davidic covenant, a set of specific promises that God made to him personally, promises of an eternal house and kingdom. They are detailed in 2 Samuel 7 and repeated in 1 Chronicles 17. The emphasis in the 2 Samuel passage is on David's earthly kingdom, and in 1 Chronicles, the emphasis is on the eternal kingdom of Messiah. The covenant with David was made not because he was a righteous man, he wasn't, as Scott explained last week, but because God had chosen him for a special purpose. If David had fallen in battle and his house extinguished, God's promises would have been broken, and there would have been no Messiah, no cross, and no salvation. In contrast, our calling is not to be victorious in battle, but to be faithful to our Lord and Saviour. A Christian's confidence is based on the new covenant through what Jesus has done for us on the cross and what the Holy Spirit is continuing to do in our lives today. We engage not in actual battle, but in spiritual battle. So when someone cuts us up on the D road or nicks our parking spot on Tesco car park, using the Psalms calling for the defeat of our enemies is not appropriate, even though we might feel like it. But going hand in hand with David's confidence is his desire for God, found in verses 4 to 6. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Despite the might and glory of his kingdom, David wanted just one thing, to be in the presence of God. He wanted nothing more, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to sacrifice with shouts of joy, to sing and make music to the Lord. Perhaps David's difficult circumstances had made him reconsider what was important in life, as it very often does for us. And you know, that's okay. God uses events in our lives to bring us closer to him. And how sweet it is for Christians to come into Jesus's presence in prayer, meditation, and worship, as we are here doing this morning. There can be no higher calling in life, and God has made this possible through the indwelling Holy Spirit of each believer. Yet how often do we procrastinate in coming before the Lord? May it be our highest priority. In verse 7, the mood of the psalm suddenly changes. The confidence of the previous verses has sapped away. The anxiety of David is palpable, and he questions God. What has caused this? We don't know. But from verse 12, it would appear enemies are spreading lies and there is a very real threat of violence. David pleads with God to hear his voice and to be merciful to him. Even though his mother and father forsake him, he implores God not to turn him over to his enemies. In these verses, we see the frailty and humanness of David as he throws himself on the mercy of God. Yet his faith is never overcome and he never gives up. And God, of course, never gives up on him or abandons him. In verse 11, David asks God to teach him through his difficult circumstances. Verse 11 says this, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." In other words, "Lord, what are you saying to me? And what is your will in my desperate situation?" Even in his time of distress, David's desire is to walk with God. Likewise, in our own times of adversity, we can call on God and ask for his mercy. And in verses 13 and 14, we find the final shift in David's expression of faith, from what I would call questioning faith to that of waiting faith. He writes, "I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." His confidence has returned. He has stilled his soul and is waiting on God. He has determined to be strong. He is taking heart in the promises of God, despite his circumstances. And as David shares his experience with us, we can be encouraged and strengthened when reading this psalm. I love these last two verses, and I pray them often in respect of family and friends, that they would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that they would come to know God and experience his blessings for themselves. This doesn't automatically guarantee material well-being or good health, although God will offer, in his grace, moving people's circumstances to bless them when we ask him to do so. And it is a prayer we can make for ourselves as we seek to go deeper, that we will experience God's love, goodness, and guidance in our daily lives. Paul in Romans 15 describes it like this. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The time David had to wait for the Lord to be rescued is not specified. And the same is true for us. God may answer our prayers in a couple of days. Sometimes it may take longer, a lot longer. Often perseverance and patience are called for. As James 1 verse 4 says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." In Psalm 27, we see the changing expressions of David's confidence in God, from complete faith to questioning faith to waiting faith. But ultimately, David was not disappointed. In due course, Messiah came, born in Bethlehem from a young girl from the house of David. And in the fullness of time, Messiah Jesus will return to complete the promises made to David with the establishment of an eternal kingdom. And like David, whatever our state of faith, we can have absolute assurance that God's promises to us in Christ will be fulfilled. Amen.